What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson here hosting a midweek show, a little bit of a shorter show. Going to preview Thursday night football. Make sure you tune in on NFL Network to the Rams and Buccaneers as Thursday night football continues in week 15. We're heading down the home stretch of the NFL season. We've got to talk about who's going to win the MVP, how hot Russell Wilson has been. We've got to talk about Cam Newton's play. We're going to talk about Carson Palmer, the Arizona Cardinals making a run, the undefeated Panthers, you know, Cam Newton. A lot to talk about. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. We'll have a pick show coming up on Friday. We also have the Monday show with Pete Prisco, Pat Kerwin, Brady Quinn. Nick Costas joins me on Friday. But subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, whatever, you know, whatever floats your boat, do that. Leave a comment on iTunes. We always appreciate that. And let's go talk to Trent Green.
Joining the show now, Trent Green. Thanks for joining us, man. I have a laundry list of things to say about you because you are double dipping this weekend. Houston, Indianapolis on CBS, and also Tampa Bay, St. Louis, right?
Yes, I am. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting week for me. When they called and asked me to do the two games, I was very excited about it. Now that it's here, I'm trying to juggle it all. So it's definitely exciting. I was able to have a Rams game earlier in the season when they played Pittsburgh, which was ended up being Todd Gurley's first game playing in the NFL since he was inactive the first 2 weeks, and now seeing how he's progressed and where he's come along. Also, this will be my first time seeing Jameis Winston, so looking forward to seeing him play in person. I've been watching quite a bit of tape on him and getting some evaluations done, and then with Houston and Indianapolis not having the strongest of seasons, but it's a battle for the division lead. So a lot of good storylines there. Both teams are dealing with a bunch of injuries and backup quarterbacks, but lots of things to talk about in both games.
Absolutely. Let me tell you something, Trent. Do not ever say anything bad about Jameis Winston because FSU fans will come at you for the eternity of time. I said
they'll find me on Twitter and just attack, huh?
No, I made a stupid bold prediction. I thought Jameis was going to have a lot of interceptions this year, mainly because I didn't think the offensive line was that great in Tampa Bay, and I thought that he would force balls because he did that a lot at FSU. You know, you watch the film and you see him missing middle linebackers. And now that he's really calmed down and he's changed these last few games and he started to they've taken a lot off his plate, I think, and he's looked better. All these FSU fans are retweeting my tweets and just making fun of me ruthlessly. But I mean, that's fine. I'm curious if you're seeing the same sort of progression from him as the season goes along and if you're impressed that he's able to do that at his age.
You know, it is impressive, especially when you consider the way that things started for him. You know, some guys mentally would have just gone in the tank and would have been backpedaling the whole season, but he stuck with it. You know, give credit to Dirk Koetter, the offensive coordinator, for coming up with some game plans and a system that is working well with what Jameis does. I think you're right. I think they've taken away maybe the ability for a full field read or putting too much on his plate. I think they've kind of narrowed down what his focus is from a progression standpoint. And that's not a knock on him. I think that's just the fact they've got big receivers in Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, and, you know, have the ability to run the football with Martin. And I think when you find that balance and, you know, Jameis has the ability to buy time with his legs and make things happen, and he has a big enough arm, you know, I think all those things work in his favor. So I think now that they've gotten to know each other from a play caller standpoint and a quarterback standpoint, I think the development has gone very well, and he's understanding. I think, Lovie Smith has a good grasp on what he, relays, what information he wants Jameis to have, and he's executing it, pretty well for a young guy right now.
I agree with you completely. I think, you know, you look at it's fascinating to see the difference. And this game, this St. Louis Tampa Bay game, to me is almost the NFL in a nutshell, because it's the difference between a team that has found its quarterback and a team that doesn't have a quarterback. And right now, you know, I mean, I don't think the Rams know what they're doing. Todd Gurley looks like a transcendent NFL player at the running back position. They have gobs of talent on the defense, maybe a potential defensive player of the year candidate in Aaron Donald on the defensive line. And yet the Rams can't do anything because they don't have a quarterback. Are you surprised, but I mean, should we be surprised that this Nick Foles experiment didn't work out?
You know, it's interesting with that, you know, because when you look at when they decide to move on from Sam Bradford, you could understand. I think both the organization and Bradford needed a fresh start. I think Foles also needed a fresh start. And I think initially it looked like a really good move. The problem is St. Louis has a lot of issues on the offensive line. They did going into the year. That's why they, I believe they drafted four offensive linemen in this year's draft. Two of those were playing and a couple of them, you know, are already hurt. They lost Roger Saffold. So three of their five starting offensive linemen to begin the year are hurt. And so when you think about going from Nick Foles to Case Keenum, some of that has to do with the mobility that Keenum has. Some of it has to do with the way that Foles was performing, but Foles performs better when he has time in the pocket, can work through those progressions and get rid of it, as opposed to running for his life and trying to make things happen with his feet. That fits a little bit better with what Keenum does. And I think they've found a balance, you know, especially now that, you know, they made the decision to change offensive coordinators a week ago. I think it was pretty evident what they, from a play calling standpoint, what they did. They wanted to get Gurley more touches and they want to run the ball and get some play action and, you know, get Keenum in space. So, you know, they did make some adjustments, but yeah, that is a major concern moving forward is number one, they're a young team, but then also, you've got to find that franchise quarterback.
All right. When you look ahead to Houston, Indianapolis, I don't even have a word for the AFC South at this point, and that's okay. I mean, it's not a pretty battlefield out there. You got Houston, Jacksonville's one game back, Houston and Indy battling it out for first. And it looks like we could have a TJ Yates, Charlie Whitehurst battle. How did we get here, and how do you expect to see this game unfold?
Well, we're just going to kind of wait and see who it is that comes out on the field on Sunday, because we're going to talk to the teams and follow the injury reports and see what goes on. It'd be nice if, you hear rumors that Andrew Luck is back practicing. Whether he's back practicing or not, I can't see him actually playing this week, and not in that short amount of time. Matt Hasselbeck was in a sling the last I heard, so I don't know how ready he's going to be, although he's proven in his earlier starts that he can play not at 100%. And Whitehurst has bounced around the league and knows a bunch of different offenses, and they may have to do that. Now, T.J. Yates is an interesting story just because he's been in there. He's played. He's had success. He's won big games. He won a playoff game. He has taken the team on the road and won big games. So different coach, different system, those kinds of things. But just the fact that Yates has been there, done that, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds because you're right. You know, both teams having some quarterback issues.
When you look at what J.J. Watt's doing defensively, I think he gets a little hyped up maybe anytime we have a superstar off the field, like the same thing happens with Odell Beckham, maybe, you know, gets a little played out in the public's mind. But I mean, defensively speaking, I mean, Bill Belichick put him up there with Lawrence Taylor. I mean, is he one of the best defensive players you've ever seen, you know, even at this early stage of his career?
You know, I would think so. I think that when you look at this combination of size and speed and the way that, you know, defense or offenses are dialing in on him, he has been slowed the last couple of weeks. I think the hand injury has hurt him, no matter what he says. I think it is affecting him. You know, it's hard to play when you can't use that hand. You know, because he's one of the guys that, you know, he jumps up and grabs interception. He's able to rip, you know, fumbles out and drag down quarterbacks. So I think it is affecting him. But, you know, when defenses are, or offenses are placing that much focus on you, and you're still able to be productive, that's when you can really say you're an elite player. And I think that's what Belichick, not to put words in his mouth, but I think that's what you're referencing. If everybody knew LT was going to have plays and you tried doing everything to stop him, yet he still made those plays. Yep. And so I think that's where the biggest comparison lies, is that, you know, even though everybody knows that's who you want to try and stop, it's still, you've got to stop it.
Yeah, like Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a game plan. Everybody's got a game plan to get punched in the mouth, right?
That's one of my favorite quotes all time. That is right there. I'm with you.
You look at the Cincinnati Bengals. That's the team that T.J. Yates has terrorized, and they're in this situation where they've lost Andy Dalton for, you know, we got Marvin Lewis calling him week to week, but the reality is when you're dealing with a broken right thumb, you can't possibly be thinking about playing like within a month, right? I mean, I feel like him coming back, if he makes it back for the playoffs, that's an absolutely best case scenario. Am I crazy?
I think a lot of it is determined on how bad of a break it is. If it's a hairline fracture, if it's where in the joint it is that at the end of the bone where it's at the joint line, or is it more towards the base of the thumb, the middle of the bone? I think that's some of the things that, you know, when the next day everybody's jumping to conclusions about, oh, he's done for the season, done for the year, got to have surgery. I'm like, you guys have no idea. You haven't examined him and you haven't looked at the x-rays. I think it's one of those things that if you can get the swelling out and if you can get some strength back in it, I think that's something he could very well come back in a couple weeks if they need him. I think that's ultimately got to be determined by Andy and the medical staff. You obviously don't want to put him in jeopardy because he is your franchise quarterback. But if it's just a matter of dealing with the pain and maybe putting a little bit of tape on it and going, I would imagine he'll be back as soon as he can. And I don't think it's as long as everyone's saying. And once again, I haven't seen the x-ray that I haven't examined him either. But I think it's too early to jump to conclusions that he's done for the remainder of the year.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And so you think that's sort of the sort of thing, because you would assume it, you know, I mean, like at his age, you know, at 27, your pain tolerance is through the roof. I mean, I would,
right.
Most people's is, I would assume maybe it is something that he could fight back through. And is it almost more like it really just depends on what kind of break it is and sort of like, you know, the timeline for that healing. And also, right. I mean, how does AJ McCarron hold it down there?
Right. Right. And you know, the good thing is AJ's being real subtle and quiet. He didn't compare himself to any future Hall of Famers in terms of, you know, how he wants to progress and how he wants to handle this whole situation. So nobody's going to pay any attention to what he's doing now.
You know, that's the second time he's compared himself to Tom Brady in the last 12 months or something. He did it at the combine too, because I was there. And he's like, Alabama is the Patriots of college football. And everybody's like, what are you doing? Why?
Right.
Why would you, I understand you got to be confident and there is some similarities there maybe, but isn't that kind of silly to bring that attention on yourself?
I've always believed that it's better to have someone else bring it up than for you to bring it up. So, if somebody else wants to draw those comparisons, fine. I just think you're putting undue pressure on yourself when that happens. But, you know, Alabama's, they beat to a different drum, and rightfully so. You know, when you've – I want to say he was a part of three national championships when he was at Alabama, quarterbacks two of those. So he has a reason to feel confident, feel good about his abilities. And, you know, if Sunday's any indication, he came in and made some plays. He had a nice throw to A.J. Green down the sideline for a touchdown. Was able to put him in the end zone another time, and you know, did have some costly interceptions. Floated the one over the middle that was picked, and then of course the pick six, which I don't necessarily think was his fault. I think it was a good disguise by the Steelers. And if you watch, Whitworth got beat pretty good off the edge, and McCarron was basically on his way to the ground when that interception happened because he was just planted into the turf. So that was a difficult one to deal with because it was really a basic 1-2 progression slant to, and it wasn't necessarily a slant to flat. It was the slot receiver running a quick swing out of that slot position. So it was a 1-2, and he was getting hit, and you know it just happened. So I'm interested to see when he gets a full week of work, gets a full week of practice, game planning, all those kinds of things, just to see him step up because I believe they play San Francisco this week. So
that's right.
It will.
On the road,
challenge for him.
But yeah.
Yeah, they're on the road, but with that defense, you'd have to think that you feel pretty good about it.
And by the way, just I think this is fascinating. If you, I haven't confirmed this, but I heard Ryan Russillo say it on Scott Van Pelt's SportsCenter show that the very first touchdown pass that Tom Brady ever threw, Terry Glenn threw into the stands. So in that sense, he is very similar to AJ McCarron because AJ Green kicked it into the stand. You know, he punted that ball into the stand. So you got that going for him.
So there's another comparison. That's right.
That's right. Tom Brady slightly less tattoos though. Very quickly, Matt Ryan. I'm perplexed as to what's happened in Atlanta. His play has just fallen off a cliff this year. Is this just a strict result of him changing coordinators and changing systems and hitting a wall on a team that was maybe playing above its head?
You know, that's a tough one to pinpoint. You know, we had Greg Gumbel and I had at Atlanta a few weeks ago when they played Indianapolis, and that was a game that they clearly, they jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and then they had a 21-7 lead going into the fourth quarter, and then Indy scores, and then Ryan on his own one-yard line throws a pick six, and they ultimately end up losing. And you know, you just kind of scratch your head. I think some of it is he's maybe trying to do too much. I think some of it is the fact that, you know, if you talk to he and Kyle both, they both love the relationship. They both think it's going to be a long-term relationship, and both are going to have a lot of success, and the team's going to have a lot of success. It's just right now it hasn't been the smoothest of transitions. I think that five-game winning streak to start the season may have been a little bit of smoke and mirrors because they were able to win a couple of close ones right at the end. So maybe they were more of a 3-2 team than a 5-0 team.
Yeah.
But I also think in the losing stretch they had, you know, some of those bounces that they were having go their way early on weren't going their way later in the season. So it has been confusing because I think Matt Ryan's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think that the struggles he's having right now, believe me, if I watched more film and was there day to day, I could probably pinpoint it better. But I think he's got the right temperament and the right work ethic. He's gonna do everything he can to get it fixed.
Feels like maybe a Philip Rivers style bump from a few years ago. You know, when it just kind of randomly struggled and just it needed a change.
Everybody was saying that he had an injury. Remember that? Everybody said, "Oh, he got an elbow injury or shoulder injury or something." And then next thing you know, McCoy comes in. They change up the offense a little bit, and you know he's throwing 4,000 yards again. So we'll see what happens. But I just knowing Matt, the little bit that I do, and being around him and watching him work and his approach to things. He's not going to rest until he gets it fixed.
All right, I'll get you out of here on this. It's another quarterback question, but it's a multiple choice one. You get to pick an MVP so far in this season right now: Cam Newton, Carson Palmer, Tom Brady, or Russell Wilson?
Wow. I would give Russell the MVP over the last 4 weeks.
Sure.
If you look at what he's done over the last 4 weeks, he's completing over 75% of his passes, 16 touchdowns, no interceptions. They've all been wins. So if you're just based on that, it would be him. I think that if you take the season as a whole, I wouldn't be able to give him the MVP. Cam Newton, I'm still holding out on a little bit. I think that, yes, they're undefeated. Yes, he's playing extremely well and putting them in position. At one point, he was only completing, I want to say after about 8 or 9 weeks, I haven't checked it recently, but after about 8 or 9 weeks, he was completing around 53% of his passes, maybe 54% of his passes. So I'd like to see an MVP complete a little bit higher percentage than that. I'm not sure what it stands at right now.
He's at 59 now.
He's at 59, so he's gotten hot.
Yeah. Ted Ginn's been catching balls lately.
Hey, it's hard to jump up 6 points when you get towards the end of the season, so he must be putting together some good numbers. So. He's definitely in the thick of it. He's definitely got to be included in that race because he does it with his legs as well as with his arm. Brady, if you look at his numbers this year, his numbers are actually past what they were a year ago. He's got as many yards and more touchdowns, I believe, and there's still 3 games left. So, and he's doing it with a bunch of guys that, you know, really weren't even planned on being a part. Now they're starting to get healthy. You know, Edelman and Amendola, and you know, Gronkowski was back last week, and losing a couple of running backs doesn't help either. So I've been really impressed with Tom. So I would say if you're asking me today, right now, it would be a race between Carson Palmer, number one, coming off of yet another knee surgery, and I just think they're positioned to do very well. They're number one in the league in offense, number four in the league in total defense. I think Carson's the right guy to be leading that team. He has a good understanding of what's going on. Yeah, he had the interception bug earlier in the year, but you get that sometimes when you're pushing the ball down the field. And so right now my race would be between Carson and Brady with Cam Newton closing pretty quick.
Totally fair. All right, and look, you were spot on. I checked really quickly. Through 8 games, 53% of his passes. He's at last 5. He's 67.8. That surprised me. I didn't think it would.
That
be
is good. Yeah.
All right, Trent Green. Thanks so much for the time. Everybody can follow him on Twitter at TrentGreen10, and make sure and tune in to Thursday Night Football on NFL Network between the Rams and the Buccaneers, and then the NFL on CBS with the Texans and the Colts. And you're on Monday. Monday quarterback too, right?
Yeah, Monday quarterback. So yeah, I'm working a lot this week.
Man, you got a good agent.
That's good.
Hey, keep up the great work, Trent. Thanks again for the time, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Good talking with you.
Great stuff from Trent Green there. Much appreciated having him on the show. You can follow him at TrentGreen10 on Twitter. You can follow me at Will Brinson on Twitter. If you want to, you can follow me on Facebook. I'd really appreciate that. Facebook.com/WillBrinsonSports. We're not going to get into the Google Plus stuff. You know, we don't need to get there. Thanks as always for listening to the show. We always appreciate it. Hope you enjoy the show. As I said before, leave a comment if you want to on iTunes. You can leave a review, 5 stars, hopefully, if you like it. You subscribe on iTunes, subscribe via Stitcher, via TuneIn. Use your little podcast app on your iPhone to subscribe or you know, your Android, however you do it. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you subscribing. And we will talk to you on Friday for the Pick Show.